1.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, trying to get back into the swing of things here, hopefully in the next day or so, as we recover from our travel schedule. Hope that you are having a great day. If you would just continue to remember my family in your prayers, as we're dealing with a health situation currently. So we appreciate your prayers in that regard. If you think your pastors throughout the county never experience any challenges, you would be mistaken. But God is bigger than those things. We want to thank Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical today for their help in bringing the Refresh Radio broadcast to you, 632-9538. And thank all the saints at Merit Assembly of God for their passion. We're just celebrating the goodness of God. We do want to remind you, if you're available to come out to church Sunday morning, 10:30, we would love to have you come and worship the King with us. And we have plenty of seats available. If not, we've got other seats we can bring out. We would love to have you join us. Also, this coming Saturday at 7 p.m., we're going to be having our men's celebration, and very thankful for the men in our life. We got some men that are stepping up and finding their place in the body of Christ and being a real blessing to our community. And so I'm thankful for the men that are inside the kingdom of God. So thanks, guys. Let's get back into Acts chapter 15, if we can today. Acts chapter 15. We had talked about yesterday how God purifies the heart, and how the church was having to go back and revisit this this doctrine, or this concept of trying to drag new believers back into the legalism of the old Jewish law all over again. And I want you to know, Paul speaks to this. He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now trying to fulfill with the works of the flesh, or something along that. My brain is not remembering it exactly word for word, so let me turn over there and see if I can find that verse for you. Anyway, it's in Galatians. Let's see, Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? And so Paul says, we have begun our journey with a spiritual process, and the only way that we are going to be successful in completing that journey is with a spiritual process. So let's go back up to verse number 6 of Acts chapter 15. And it says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10 is where we're going to begin today. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered and saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things.'" Let's stop the reading there. What Peter says here in verse number 10, we talked yesterday, ended up talking about purifying their hearts by faith. And now Peter gets to the real crux of the matter of what was going on with these legalists. And it says this, okay? Now this is a straightforward statement, okay? It doesn't address their theological point of view. What it does is it gets to the root of what they are arguing for. He says, "Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" And what he is saying here is that whenever we insist on dragging people in to a legalist mindset, when we try and draw them back into a way of life that we could not even, Peter says, look, our fathers could not live up under the old Jewish law. We could not live up under the old Jewish law. That's the reason God sent Jesus. He sent Jesus who could live up to the written code. He was sinless. We were not. And he says, you're trying to drag people back. You're trying to discourage them, and we're trying to encourage them. And so please understand that if somebody is trying to undermine your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we have talked about the evidence of the grace of God. This is not saying that there are no standards. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But what they were trying to do was drag people back into the Mosaic law. They were trying to drag people back to the circumcision requirements and all of the other things that came along with that. Listen, Peter points out to the Pharisees, the reality is nobody could live up under that. Joshua, if you go all the way back to Joshua, the 24th chapter, where he says, "Choose you this day or whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." The people said, "We're going to serve the Lord." And Joshua said, you can go back and look it up, the end of chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. Joshua says, "You can't do it. You can't do it." This may be the most refreshing truth that I've ever shared with you on this program, and that is this: apart from Jesus, you cannot live a life that is pleasing to God. You need Jesus living inside of you to be able to do it. There are some people that are wanting to change the things and saying, "Look, I can't live like the Word of God is telling me to live, not in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. I can't live that way." And the reality is, the reason that they can't is because Jesus isn't living in their heart. Jesus can transform anybody. Listen, if he could humble Nebuchadnezzar, he can certainly humble you. There's not a politician on the planet that God does not know how to reach. And so we can't keep dragging people back to where we are when God is wanting to summon us to where he is. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Listen to what Peter goes on to say in verse 11. This is what we believe, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Peter flips the coin all the way around, where the legalists were saying, look, we recognize that they're saved, but they have got to come back and they have got to live under the Mosaic law like we are. Peter flips that coin around and says, you don't understand. God acknowledged them, gave them the same Holy Spirit that he gave to us. He purified their hearts by faith the same way that he purified our hearts by faith. And we are going to be saved in the same manner that they are saved. And so he's actually extending the invitation to them and saying, you need to recognize the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ. Okay. You could go on and read the rest of the New Testament, and you would see at times that Paul writes about Peter being drawn back, and even Barnabas having setbacks in this. Listen, I believe it can happen for every one of us, that if we stop operating from speaking the truth in love, that we are going to get drawn back into a legalistic mindset. And that's not what God is looking for. He's looking to save us by the grace of God. He's looking to bring a transformed life. Salvation without transformation is not salvation. But the only way that salvation comes is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through us receiving the gift that we didn't deserve. You know what we deserved? My sins deserved death, and your sins deserved death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd rather receive the gift than what I deserve. People are all the time out there proclaiming, this is my right, this is my right, this is my right. You know what? I would rather have my gift than I would my right. I would rather have the gift that God wants for me than the paycheck of death that I deserved. Okay. Verse number 12. I love this. Then all the multitude kept silent. You know, we talked about that back in Acts chapter 11, that when Peter spoke up, everybody got silent. And then there were people who started speaking, and they started listening to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that miracles did not take place through the leadership there in Jerusalem, because there most certainly were. Lydia, Tabitha was raised from the dead. I know that there were miracles. There was the lame man healed at the gate. But Paul and Barnabas begin describing the miracles that were taking place among the Gentiles. And, you know, Jesus asked a question one time, and he said, if I'm driving out demonic spirits by Beelzebub, who are you driving them out by? And the reality was there weren't any exorcisms taking place outside of Jesus. Okay. Jesus is the only one who has the authority that he has imparted to the saints to be able to have that dominion to drive out demons. He said, these signs shall accompany those that believe. It is because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And that's where our authority comes from. And so Paul and Barnabas describe everything that is taking place out there. And I don't know how they responded. I know how I would respond. I would look at myself and say, what's God doing in my midst? What's God doing in my midst? Can I share a testimony with you? This happened earlier this year. I think it was this year. It might've been later last year. Where there was an Assembly of God church here in Florida, and they posted on Facebook how somebody had come to church that day, and during praise and worship, this person actually died in church. And so they called the paramedics, but before the paramedics got there, the church gathered around there. There were medical personnel and all of that sort of stuff. But as they began to pray for them, that person was raised back up from the dead. And my point of view on that is, wow, I bet that person was really thankful that that they went to church that morning, because if their heart was going to give out at home, there might not have been anybody there to pray for them and pray them back to life. And so that was my take on that. And when it came time for our prayer request that day, I said, God, you are the same God here as you are there. And I pray, God, that you would do miracles at Merit Assembly of God the same way that you are doing miracles in other places. God, we have the same faith in you. We believe that you are able to do the same things there here as you are there. There's no distance in the kingdom of God. And so, God, we're asking you to demonstrate your sovereignty in people's lives here as well as there. Thank God for what you did there, but we want to see miracles take place here as well. And so we shared that testimony, prayed that prayer, and one of our men was traveling out west. They were out there to help his mom and dad empty out a storage unit. They were moving, and while they were moving the furniture, his father actually collapsed. The guy looked at him, tried to find a pulse. There was no pulse, and his father had passed away. So immediately he calls 911, and he goes, and 911 wants to know his address, and he's got to go find the address. And he comes back, and before he goes to find that office, he prays the life of God. Now, when he goes to find the address of the place to give 911, he's already prayed the prayer of faith, but his father is still lifeless. And so he goes and he finds the address. And when he comes back, he finds that his father, his pulse has returned. His strength has returned enough to where he's not collapsed on the ground, but he was actually sitting up. They ended up taking him to the hospital just to double check on him and all of that sort of stuff, but they didn't find anything wrong with him. We believe that God does miracles. Now listen, he does not love that man. By the way, that guy that got raised up, he is an Assemblies of God minister. He's a retired Assemblies of God minister. I don't believe that's why God raised him from the dead. I believe that God raised him from the dead because God is still in the miracle working business. If you have a need in your life, a physical need in your life, and you need somebody to stand in prayer, we believe that now God heals just the same as he did when Jesus walked the earth. We believe in miracles. So, verse number 13, after they had become silent, James answered and said, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Okay. Do you see what God wants to do? He wants to call a people out. He is looking for a people that are his people. He's looking for a people that will be called for his name. I am more interested in belonging to the household of faith than being on the broad path of destruction. I want to reach as many people as I can. I want to talk to as many people as I can, but I am looking to live a life that is a life of distinction, a life that says, look at the joy that God has given. You listen, there are people who have all the money in the world. They have everything that money can buy, but they don't have Jesus. And let me tell you, one of two things generally happens. Either they are miserable in their abundance, or the amount of things that they have access to ends up killing them. Celebrities in Hollywood, they got all of the fame, all of the money. Everybody knows their name. But look at the trail of devastation, destruction, and heartache that their life exhibits. You know what? I've told God, if the price of fame is a a casualty to the kingdom. I don't, I'll reject the fame so that I can continue to tell people about the goodness of God. So God is looking to bring a people out for his name's sake. Then he begins to share this verse. It says, after this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. Right there at the very end, it says that the purpose of what God was going to do was so that not just the Jews, but all of mankind could seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. That's you and I. That's you and I, that we're called by his name. Now, let's take this out of a historical context for just a moment, and let's put it in a context that might apply to you and to me. Verse 16, after this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. What I want to ask you this morning is, do you have something in your life that has collapsed? It has, it's fallen into disrepair. The rafters might be sagging. The walls might be leaning. Things that were supposed to be upright have fallen over, and it is in need of attention. It may be a relationship. It may be a body that is breaking down. It might be some mental challenges that you are facing. It might be your spiritual relationship with the Lord. It might be your business. Whatever it might be, is there something in your life that has collapsed and has fallen into disrepair? Because God here wants to speak a word over that. And he says, what you need is, you don't need a self-help program. You don't need some other human being to come along and give attention to this. He says, what you need is, you need me. Listen to what it says. After this, I will return and will rebuild. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up. Today, I just want to stoke your faith a little bit to know that God doesn't just dispatch angels. He just doesn't dispatch words through me, but he comes himself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, it says, and God himself, the God of all glory, will himself come. Listen, God's coming by himself. He's coming. He's not just sending an angel. He's not just sending a representative from heaven. He wants to be personally involved in your life with the intent of reconstructing it. The world is so deceived and deluded into believing that God is into destroying them, and actually God is looking to undo the destruction and the devastation. If you're here and your marriage is on the rocks, I want you to know that God can rebuild it. I know it because I've seen him do it. Don't just settle for the way things are. Invite God to come in and rebuild it. You see, this is a tremendous passage of promise that comes out of a controversy and a source of dissension and strife where people are being dragged back into legalism. And God has said, look, I'm looking to rebuild the people of God. I'm looking to build them up, set them upright, establish them on a solid foundation. I'm going to erect it. But it's not just going to be for your own consumption. See, some of you are in the middle of God's miracle that he's going to work on your behalf. And he's going to use that miracle in that hopeless situation where there are going to be people that when they see, that they're not even involved in the situation, but when they hear about what God has done in you, they're going to begin to seek the Lord. Listen, if we never tell what God is doing on our behalf, if we never share the goodness of God, then how are people going to know? And How are they going to know to seek God? And I will also say this, if we aren't seeking God ourselves, why would we condemn others who are not seeking him because they don't even know he needs to be sought after? Okay, so James here says, the word of God says he's going to rebuild David's fallen tent, his fallen tabernacle, so that people will seek the Lord, and the people who seek him are going to be all the Gentiles who are called by his name. When there was such a large segment of Jewish society that operated with an exclusivity, they looked down upon people who were not people of faith. And here, even in the Old Testament prophecy, God is saying, look, when I build things up, it is not going to be just an exclusive club. It is going to be for people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation who have cried out, who've had their hearts purified by faith, who have asked me to forgive them of their sins, who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, who've received the gift of repentance and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have been saved. And the more I rebuild, the more that there are going to be people who are going to begin seeking me. Listen, don't accept defeat when God is able to rebuild. And when he rebuilds, it's going to result in the kingdom growing. Listen, the word of God says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain that build it. And so I want you to begin to cry out to God and say, God, would you build my life the way that you want it? Build it with the people that you want in my life. Build it on a foundation of salvation and build it on a foundation of faith. Build my life in such a manner that people will recognize that you are the architect of my life because you want to see them come to faith as well. I don't know about you, but I'd like a lot more people in heaven than what I've been able to impact thus far. I would like God to do a work in my life that causes more people to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Can we pray and ask God to do a reconstruction project right now? Father, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but you come that we might have life. Lord, you are a master builder. And I pray, God, whether it's a business, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a home, whatever it might be, God, I pray that you would rebuild the lives of listeners that are tuned in right now. Rebuild it in a glorious manner so that people from every tribe, tongue, and nation would begin to seek the Lord and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God's not done with you yet. He's going to build you into a glorious house. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.